As a wise and wonderful man once used to say, don't start your watches just yet. Now, before I start, I want to provide some context for our scripture today. In our reading, we find David, who isn't yet king, on the run from King Saul. Saul was hunting David and trying to kill him out of jealousy and fear of losing his position as king. Now, the scriptures pick up when David was hiding with about 600 loyal men, and he heard news about Philistines raiding the city of Keilah. Now, the Philistines were opportunistic in planning to raid the city at the time of harvest, where the goods were ripe for the taking. Now, a raid at that time would have been devastating to the people of Keilah, and David needed to decide what to do. Okay, it's officially time. You can start your watches. All right, the reading today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 14. Now they told David, "The Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are robbing the threshing floors." David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" The Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord again. The Lord answered him, "Yes, go down to Keilah, for I will give you the Philistines into your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah, fought with the Philistines, brought away their livestock, and dealt them a heavy defeat. Thus David rescued the inhabitants of Keilah. When Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, he came down with an ephod in his hand. Now it was told Saul that David had come to Keilah, and Saul said, "God has given him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars." Saul summoned all the people to war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David learned that Saul was plotting evil against him, he said to the priest Abiathar, "Bring the ephod here." David said, "O Lord, the God of Israel, your servant has heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. And now, will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord, the God of Israel, I beseech you, tell your servant." The Lord said, "He will come down." Then David said, "Will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul?" The Lord said, "They will surrender you." Then David and his men, who were about 600, set out and left Keilah. They wandered wherever they could go. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he gave up the expedition. David remained in the strongholds in the wilderness, in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but the Lord did not give him into his hand. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Please respond with me.
Thanks be to God.
Now, as we move to reflect on your word, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. For you, O God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, how many of you have seen the movie Footloose? All right, a good chunk of you. Excellent. It's a classic 80s dance movie starring Kevin Bacon, and it's right up there with the likes of Dirty Dancing. Now, if you haven't seen the movie, I'm sure you're familiar with the main song. In fact, maybe Carl can give us a quick preview. Take it away, Carl.
Why not? Tonight I gotta cut loose, foot loose. Kick off your Sunday shoes.
Thank you, Carl. That takes me back to my senior year in college at Bowling Green. 80s night every Monday night at the Uptown Bar. Good times. All right. Anyway, if you're not familiar with the story of Footloose, Kevin Bacon's character Ren moves to a small town with his mom and finds out that the town council had banned dancing and rock music. Now, Reverend Moore, the pastor of the town, promoted the band because his son had died 5 years earlier in a car accident after a night of dancing and drinking. So Wren takes it upon himself to challenge the ordinance so that the high school can hold a senior prom. Now, near the climax of the movie, Wren goes before the reverend and the town council to defend dancing. And in a brilliant move, Wren opens scripture and reads how Psalm 149 tells us to praise the Lord through dance. He then flips to Samuel when David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Wren then asks, what did David do? What did David do? Anyone?
He danced.
David danced. That's right. And as we learn from today's scripture, we heard something else about what David did, at least whenever he was being a good leader. What did David do? David prayed. In fact, in our short passage today, David prayed to the Lord 4 times. David prayed when he heard of the Philistines raiding Keilah. He prayed again when his men were terrified of fighting the Philistines while they were already on the run from King Saul. And David prayed twice more when Saul moved to capture him in the city of Keilah. David went back to God again and again in prayer to seek his wisdom and guidance. It was a practice David repeated throughout his life whenever he was acting as a person after God's own heart. Like in 1 Samuel chapter 30, when the Amalekites raided the city of Ziklag and took captive all of the women and children, what did David do? David prayed. Or in 2 Samuel chapter 2, when Saul was defeated by the Philistines and David wasn't sure what steps he needed to take to claim his throne, what did David do? David prayed. Or both times the Philistines tried to attack David right after his coronation in 2 Samuel chapter 5. What did David do?
He prayed.
Or there was that time many years later in 2 Samuel chapter 1 when the land was struck by famine for 3 years. What did David do?
He prayed.
That's right. David prayed. David sought to be a person after God's own heart by learning of God's heart through prayer. Because David understood that the purpose of prayer was not to get what he wanted, but to discern what God wanted. And whenever David went to the Lord in prayer, God was there giving him strength and guidance. Now, this Lent, Pastor Abby and Pastor Hannah are starting a sermon series on the prayers of Jesus. And I thought, what better way to kick things off than talking about David? Because Jesus is the fulfillment of all things God promised to David. Jesus is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the long-awaited Savior who is the eternal King of God's people. And like David, Jesus shows us how we should always come to God in prayer. In fact, Jesus was constantly in prayer throughout his ministry. And throughout the Gospels, he prays alone. He prays publicly. He prays before meals. He prays before important decisions. He prays before healing, after healing, when facing trials for guidance, wisdom, and strength. He prays on behalf of others, and he always prays for the Father's will. Now, Jesus also ceaselessly taught about the importance of prayer. Do you all remember the story when the disciples tried to cast a demon out of a boy but were unable to? It's the same story where the boy and his father asked Jesus to help, and they said, "I believe, help my unbelief." Well, after casting out the demon, Jesus' disciples asked him why they couldn't do the same. You see, they were surprised because by that time they had cast out many demons and healed others through Jesus' power. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were one of the disciples, after casting out some demons and healing people, I might have started feeling a bit too big for my britches. Perhaps by the time the disciples met the possessed boy, they started feeling as though they could heal and cast out demons easily by their own strength. But after curing the boy, Jesus tells his disciples that the demon could only come out through prayer. Through this encounter, Jesus shows his disciples that prayer is the difference between the best that they can do and the best that God can do. That was the message for his disciples then, and it's the same for us, his disciples now. When we come to the Lord in prayer, we stop relying on the best that we can do, and we start relying on our God for the best that he can do. And that, ultimately, is the main idea behind our breakthrough prayer initiative we're embarking on as a church family this Lent. Now, hopefully you've heard a little bit about this breakthrough prayer initiative that we have planned. But if not, well, that's great too, because I have some exciting news. But first, let me provide a little context. Now, if you think back to last summer, now I know that might be hard in our frigid February, but summer is that time where the sun shines and the weather is delightful. But think back to that time not long after Pastor Abby came to SUMC. She held quite a few getting chatty with Pastor Abby sessions so that we could get to know one another and learn about our cares and concerns as a church. Now, remarkably, there was one topic that came up at every single session without fail. One topic that is near and dear to many of our hearts: children and youth. Now, I don't know about you, but when I see and talk to our kids in our church, I can't help but think back to my time as a youth. And I start getting nostalgic. That is, until the terror sets in. When I remember all the awkwardness, anxiety, and uncertainty of adolescence. In fact, there is not enough money in the world that you could pay me to get back and relive my teen years with all of its craziness. And I think that's why children and youth are on our hearts, because we all know how hard that time is. Where kids are told 1 minute to grow up, and then the next minute they're told they're just a kid and not to grow up too fast. Where addiction, unrealistic expectations, identity issues, heartbreak, anxiety, depression, stress, cyberbullying, and peer pressure are just a few of the many trials that our kids face. And all of it is compounded by the omnipresence of social media. Now, many of you also expressed concerns about the number of kids in our children's and youth programs and what we're doing to recover due to a downturn from COVID. And many more are concerned about how we're reaching out to other youth within our community. And there's obstacles at every turn, whether it's overstuffed schedules, apathy towards church, or a lack of awareness of what we're offering. It's a huge problem without an easy solution. And so, we find ourselves in a position much like David did in our scripture from today, presented with a problem with no obvious answer. Well, at this point, we all know what David did. What did David do? He prayed. And like David did, we can come together to be a people of prayer and a people after God's own heart. So we're embarking on a breakthrough prayer initiative this Lent to invite God to break into our church and our hearts in new and miraculous ways this Lent, to give us direction for the children's and youth programs at SUMC, to surprise us in ways that we might not have even imagined, and to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things that can only be found in God's presence. Because one God idea is worth more than 1,000 good ideas. So what will this breakthrough prayer initiative look like? I'm glad you asked. Everyone here today should have received a prayer card. Now, if you didn't get one, make sure to pick one up from the ushers before you leave today. And for our friends online, you can either pick them up at the Welcome Center in the church for a physical copy or download from them from our church website. Now, you'll notice that there are two sides to the prayer card. One contains a morning prayer on the morning side. That's the one that looks slightly brighter and sunnier. And then there is a night prayer on the other side, the like more red-looking one. Now, the idea is for everyone in our church to pray the morning prayer when they wake up in the morning and the night prayer before they go to bed each day throughout Lent. Now, Jesus tells us that when two or three are gathered in his name, he is there among us. Imagine when hundreds of us are gathered in his name, praying for our children and youth every morning and night. But that's just the start. We're also inviting everyone to come back to SUMC today at 4 p.m. to gather in our new youth area for a prayer walkthrough. It'll take about 30 to 45 minutes, and as Pastor Abby said, it won't be embarrassing for anybody. But during the walkthrough, we'll be asking everyone, we'll be praying over the youth and children's areas and posting sticky notes all over the place. Then throughout the week, kids will be writing their names and the names of their friends who they want prayed for on those sticky notes. So then next Sunday, we'll all get those sticky notes back, and when you do, you'll get the name of the kids that you'll be praying for throughout Lent. Now, I don't want to spoil all of the surprises, But each week we'll have additional prayer-filled activities we'll engage in as a church, like focusing on specific topics in prayer each day, writing cards to the children and youth, letting them know that you're wrapping them in your prayers, and participating in a daily prayer challenge. Needless to say, it's going to be a lot of prayer. But when you pray to God regularly, irregular things happen on a regular basis. And that's because God shows up when we pray. In fact, prayer is like plugging in a lamp to allow God's electrifying presence to enter. And when the lights get turned on, it's easier to see where God is working in our lives, where we start seeing God everywhere we look, and we notice God-ordained opportunities we once didn't see. And that's exactly what this box is for. This is a God Encounter box, and it will be at the Welcome Center throughout Lent. And we're inviting everyone to share the ways that they're encountering God during the prayer initiative and any God ideas that he's given you. Just write it up and stick it in the box. Now, if you're unable to come to church to submit your God encounters, you can also write them up in an email and send them to the church office. And those God encounters will serve as testimonies to the amazing ways God is speaking to us. And I have a feeling he has a few surprises up his sleeve. So let's keep our eyes, ears, and hearts open as we look and listen to God in all that we do. But before we dive into this initiative and focus our prayers on the children and youth in SUMC and throughout our communities, I want to take a step back and pause for a moment. To pause and reflect on why this is important for you, personally. What is your reason for embarking on this prayer initiative and asking God to surprise us for the next 40 days? Now, that's not something you need to answer right now, but if you let me, I'd be happy to share my why, the reason why this initiative is so important to me. Now, first and foremost, I'm a father with three kids in our children's and youth programs. While that obviously means I have skin in the game, my reason goes beyond that. It goes back to a time over 25 years ago when I was in sixth grade. And unbeknownst to my family or friends, I was going through a really rough time then. I was struggling with depression and hopelessness, and I couldn't stand who or what I saw when I looked in the mirror. And I also didn't want to confide in anyone what was going on because I was even ashamed of how I was feeling. And that was probably the worst part because I was going through all of it alone. But praise God. My parents decided to start attending SUMC, and it wasn't long before I got plugged into the youth program of our church. I was surrounded by youth and adults who took a genuine interest in me, and I was blown away by the amazing adults who were willing to put up with all of our crazy shenanigans and desired to help us meet Jesus. It was during a youth retreat to Lakeside in seventh grade that I had a powerful encounter with Christ and accepted him into my heart, and my life was forever changed. Sure, there were major ups and downs throughout my teen years, but the big difference was that I no longer had to go through it alone. I had Christ with me, and I was surrounded by a community of loving and caring community who poured themselves into us kids. I have so many fond memories of my time at the youth program at SUMC, and none of that would have been possible without all of you. And I can't begin to thank each of you enough for the many ways that you've touched my life in a special way. And even after I moved to Colorado for grad school and didn't attend SUMC for around 8 years, it was the most amazing thing when I moved back and walked through these doors. It immediately felt like I was home again. I could feel the warmth and love I came to know so well as a youth here. And that's the hope I have for every kid who walks through our doors, that they will come to know and feel the warmth and love of Christ. That's my why. Because I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for our amazing youth program, our amazing church family, and the amazing love of Christ. But you don't have to take just my word for it. We are blessed to have dozens of people who grew up at SUMC and still go here today. Just take a look and see if you recognize any familiar faces. Every person up there has their own story for how the youth program helped shape them and how it supported their hopes and dreams. Every person has a testimony about the love and support that they felt from this church since they were a kid. So, I ask everyone, what would happen if we began to dream God dreams this Lent? What would happen if we began to dream of the possibilities, not just for us and our generation, but for future generations yet to come? What would happen if we came to God, united as a church, as a people of God, offering ourselves in prayer every day for children and youth? So let's take David's example to heart. Let's dance like David danced, and pray like David prayed, and be surprised by joy in the countless ways God shows up. Please, pray with me. Lord, Almighty Father, we know that you're here today and you have loved us since we were kids. And Lord, you love the kids in this church and all of the communities. You ask us to let the kids come to you. And so let us come to you as people in prayer to ask you to break through to us during this Lent, to show us what you have planned for our children and youth program here. Help us to love you and to be people of prayer and to follow David's example. It is in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.